Head Kovalchev, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, hi everybody. And thank you, Tracy, for the nice introduction. I'll pick one theme from your presentation, which was integration. And what I'll speak today about will be a bright new avenue of the web called semantic web. But I'll just limit my presentation to a specific aspect out of that, which is the data, and which is sometimes called web of data. So how many of you know about the semantic web? Please, raise your hands. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so I don't have anything new to say today. And how many of you know about the web of data? What is this? Okay. Small proportion. Okay, so let's start then. First, well, I suppose I'm speaking about open data, and I'll explain why we have to link the open data into a...
Do you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. And I have to say why we need to link the open data, okay, into what is called web of data. I guess you understand that. So in the beginning, there was a call from nobody else than Sir Tim Berners-Lee. And he presented it TED in 2007. And he called for everybody to put his or her raw data on the web. Okay, I think it was pretty much a wake-up call for people to start accumulating data sets and start publishing them on the web. And what he said is basically that in the beginning, in the 90s, when he envisioned the future web, at that time, the web didn't exist. Some people here probably don't know that. Yeah, they're too young to know that in the beginning of the 90s, there were no web. Yeah, there were just some gophers and FTPs and telnet, but there was no web. And he talked about interlinking documents, plenty of documents that were available on sites, but they were not real web of that, such documents. And the key point was that documents have to point to other documents via the hyperlinks with a particular protocol, HTTP. And this was a big invention, and well, everybody knows what happened after that. Now, 10 years later, almost 10 years later, he started thinking about something else. He understood that data can also represent a web. Okay, interlinking data items on the web can be the next big thing. And it really realized in what's called today linked open data, which is a global network of interlinked data items. Okay, it's global, it's there, it's not yet all of the web, but it's largely now an ongoing process of constructing the infrastructure and the network itself. So what's the basic motivation is, I would say, interoperability, interconnections between data sets for what? For reusing it as much as possible and for removing redundancy. The goal will be to have every single data item represented in one single place. Okay, this is just a goal. So usefulness of the data comes from sharing it. Okay, I think everybody agrees. But also by combining it easily with other data. So next, I'll explain how it can be done. I'm probably speaking about things you know already. But it boils down basically to three rules. Actually, there are five, sometimes four. There are different variants. But the basic principles of interlinking data can be summarized as, first, having a global identifier. Okay, and using what already exists. This is the HTTP protocol with URLs to identify, to point to data items. Then, again, we have to access this data, and this is done again with HTTP. So we retrieve data items by accessing their respective URLs. Now the network stuff comes with interlinking. So outgoing links, typed links, so we can have to say what kind of links exist and what kind of links are represented within data items. Okay, this should be actually leading to discover other new data items with URLs. Again, they are identified via URLs. So all this has been realized, has been put to work via a particular language for representation of data, which is called Resource Description Framework, okay, RDF for short. And this is a graph language. It represents a graph data model, which I'll try to illustrate here in a very simple way. Let's think my name is Ted Strauss. Excuse me. Yeah, I will just assume your identity. And I would say, I want to say an RDF that I live in Montreal and I, well, I'm a person. So we have the graph here. Where is the pointer? Sorry, is this?
Try it.
All right, yeah. So there is a node in my graph representing the person whose name is Ted Strauss. And I say that it's a person and lives in Montreal, whose population is about 3.5 million people. Okay, so this is the way it will be expressed in RDF. So this is a graph, you see, with nodes and arcs, or let's say with segments between them. Everything except what stays in this gray rectangles as resource, and it's identified by URL. Even the arcs in this graph are URLs, but you don't see that because this is in a very compressed manner, expressed in a very compressed manner to make it readable. And of course, you have some prefixes here. Where you can recognize it if you understand XML namespaces. They actually hide real URLs. And what's important here is that every single label here is defined with a vocabulary. Vocabularies here are mixed. We have some coming from a well-known, let's say, social network representing vocabulary, which is friend of a friend, or FOV. Then we have DBpedia, which probably you know, and then we have something more, let's say, obscure that I won't present here, okay, today. So this is one single site for the graph, and we express some simple things. Then if we go further and imagine that this graph can be done globally, whoops, I don't think this was the right way to, okay, sorry. So we have somebody else in Beijing who also would like to express some knowledge, some data about him, himself, and who knows by chance, it's nothing to do with the reality, yeah? By chance Ted, and wants to connect to him, okay? So we now have a global graph, part of it being in Beijing, part of it in Montreal, and part of it can be or other places you can imagine. It's global because everything is globally identified, and now we can also imagine that it grows up to becoming giant, okay? Because we can then connect other nodes with information about different cities, like then Montreal in Canada, in China, what else? Okay? So this is how it grows right now. I'm going back to present the advantages of such a way to expressing data. Okay, first of all, is it open? What is on the web is most of the times open. Yeah. Because you have to, you have to care about your data before you interlink it. You have to care what kind of usages it can be suitable for. So there is a citation here from somebody you might know. Okay, yeah, and so I'm finished. Okay, and what are the differences with the standard open data? First, okay, linking. Linking can be done, of course. There is nothing quite revolutionary about linking data. The idea here is that we have the infrastructure for it, for doing it in a very smooth way, and for profiting, or say taking advantage from community effort. If somebody else provides data that's overlapping with yours, there are mechanisms, there are languages and tools to say, okay, somebody called Ted Strauss in Montreal actually was the same person who provided, or somebody else provided information about, but in New York, because 3 years ago, I don't know, he used to live in New York, okay? Yeah. So perhaps we have to think about mashups also. We had some mechanisms with Web 2.0, about interlinking data, mixing up. The problem is that we have to know the sources quite well. This is not the case with linked open data, where we have a global data space with the language that facilitates the integration and with the mechanism that help identify redundancies and interlink data items. So it's pretty much what I wanted to say. This is a picture, the latest I found, of what is today this global giant graph of data. On the web, we have some vocabularies very famous in the center here, DBpedia, and we can have FOF somewhere else I didn't find, but certainly to see. Okay, so thank you. I think I can stop here. Thank you.